BBC Six Music Podcasts.
Six Music.
This is a free download from the BBC.
Find out more at bbc.co.uk/sixmusic.
And now, Adam and Joe.
Watch out, it's Adam and Joe, coming from space to your brain.
They got a little pack of highlights
from the Six Music Show for you to hear again.
They got rid of all of the music and the bits that were incredibly crappy. So now there ain't a whole lot left, but hopefully enough to keep you happy. Here we go.
Hello, I'm Adam.
Hey, this is Joe.
Welcome to our podcast this week. Thank you very much for downloading it. I hope you're subscribed. Are you subscribed? If you're not subscribed, you should be subscribed.
This podcast dropped out of the top 10 momentarily last week. That's right. I logged on. I tend to log on about 20 times a day. During one of my logs on, I logged on and it was not there.
Yeah.
On the main screen, it had gone down to 11. Later in the day, a couple of minutes later, I logged on and it was back at number 9.
Oh, that's good.
Do you know what had knocked it out of the charts? Dr. Winkelstein's Crazy Experiment podcast, or something along those lines.
Yeah. Well, people want thrills and spills from their podcast. Is that a video podcast?
I don't know, but it made me think we should start doing some experiments. Yeah. You know what? I think we should reflect competing podcasts in our podcast. Do what they do better.
That's a good idea.
And use that technique to climb up the pod charts.
Well, maybe next week we should study some of the other podcasts more closely.
I think we should.
Okay.
Like if Zane Lowe's beating us with his hottest records, we play hotter records.
Not allowed to play any records.
Oh, God.
You didn't think of that, did you?
Oh, we're stuffed.
I'm a genius. Enjoy these condensed highlights from our show this week. And don't forget, of course, that you can listen again to the whole show right now with all the music and everything.
Yeah, by going to the BBC Six Music website and clicking on Listen Again. Or if you're listening to this podcast before this coming Saturday after this show is broadcast, then don't forget you can still participate by emailing adamandjoe.sixmusic@bbc.co.uk with, for instance, an anecdote, a complaint, general chit-chat, or maybe a vote for Song Wars.
Exactly. So, hope you enjoy it, and we'll chat to you again later on.
Great times, great friends, great highlights. The Adam and Joe's Six Music Podcast. It's what extreme boredom was made for. Excuse me.
Text the nation. Text, text, text. Text the nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
Here's how the feature works. The Adam and Joe Show is on the radio and you help to make it. Every week you can text in. This is, I'm doing like an explanation.
Right. Is this from something? Is this like
this
a...
This is how, this is what
big,
they
is
say.
Is this Big Brother?
No, Lily Allen.
Lily Allen.
Yeah, that's what okay. She does. She cool, explains cool, cool. How her show works. Because otherwise people would be lost.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a complicated modern show that involves the internet and stuff. You need guidance.
Yeah.
Plus it fills up screen time.
Exactly. It's baffling.
Cheap. It's cheap.
So yeah, Text the Nation, we talk about something and you text us about it. So, yes, you can text us if you're listening to the show live, if you're doing Listen Again, of course.
Email. Yeah, adamandjoe.sixmusic@bbc.co.uk.
Although it's unlikely, isn't it, that they would be read out the following week?
Yeah, we never do, but people still do.
Yeah.
And I read them.
No, you do. I mean, we do occasionally.
Now and then, if there's a real sparkler.
Exactly.
A diamond.
Anyway,
a princess.
This week...
oh, my princess.
Text the Nation is inspired by the fact that I woke up last night after a nightmare. It was a terrible nightmare. It was really frightening. But I woke up and I didn't sit up straight in bed and I wasn't sweating. And I didn't go, like that, right?
Yeah.
Which is, of course, a movie cliche. And it just occurred to me that... you know, I very seldom do anything that I see in big movie cliches, and it's a shame. In fact, I couldn't think of one single movie cliche thing that I've done. Once I got very close to sweeping a lot of objects off a table in a fit of anger, but then I just thought, no, because I'd have to pick them up and I'd break a lot of things on the table, so I'm not going to do that.
Here's one I think a lot of people might have done, is ripped a photo in two.
Right.
You know, if there's a picture of you with an old girlfriend or boyfriend who you no longer want in your mind, or a friend who you now think is a bit of an idiot.
Yeah, you symbolically
rip it in two.
Have you done that with any of our press pictures?
All of them. And then I usually put them back in the frame so that when a new friend comes to visit, they can get an idea of my psychological problems just by looking at my photos.
I do that with your pictures, but what I do is I burn holes in your
really?
Eyes with a cigarette.
Yeah. Really? What I've got is a photo of an old school photo. And as I kill each person, I'm scrubbing their faces out. But I've put it in a drawer under some pants.
You do it
so
with a compass.
Will never find it. Yeah.
Right. In your nutty room.
And what I also like to do is if there's a framed photo of somebody I don't like, I look at it, then I just turn it face down on the shelf. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Die-hard style.
Now, here's a few other cliches that maybe you've been involved with. Have you ever opened a door or picked a lock with a credit card or a paper clip?
What kind of a man do you think I am?
A kind of a genius.
A thief?
Yeah.
A cat burglar? No, I haven't. I think I've tried, but that's a bit of a fallacy, isn't it? Because when a door fits in a frame, there's a bit for you to get round, isn't there?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You can't just shove the thing in.
No, exactly. They've taken
God
that
knows
into
I've
account.
Tried.
How about this? Have you ever been in a situation at a party or whatever where one person starts singing a song and then everyone joins in?
That's a very good cliche. And it must be unrehearsed. In the movies, it's always unrehearsed, isn't
yeah.
it? What's the most famous example of that? There's a very famous sequence.
Well, there's
in the
one
film.
In Top Gun, isn't there? Where they start singing, you know, You've Lost That Loving Feeling.
Right.
I mean, that's a legendary scene. I mean, that film is full of a lot of cliches.
But in movies, they always get the words exactly right.
Exactly.
And they always
yeah.
time it exactly right. It's always in a restaurant, and there's always an old lady sitting at a table next door that suddenly gets up and does a really funky dance. Which you wouldn't expect because she's so old.
Yeah, what? This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. Now, I saw this advert in the back of Word magazine for an upcoming gig that I think you might be excited about, Joe. It says Morton, Paul and Magne. Who do you think that could be?
Is that A-ha?
Well, it's three solo performances from the members of A-ha, all taking place on the same evening at the London Royal Albert Hall.
Wow.
So they're all on the same bill, but they appear to be playing separate gigs, three solo gigs, rather than just one A-ha gig. So, but, you know, they can't get themselves together to actually just reform and play an A-ha gig.
Well, that's good, isn't it? Because often if you're in a duo or a band, you can get a sort of psychological complex that your voice
yeah.
and individual talent
yeah.
isn't being heard.
That's right.
Every now and then that might happen to you and I. You know, I might be annoyed that you get credit for something that I've done. Vice versa.
Yeah.
I might get credit for something you've done. I sometimes think, you know, people need to know Joe, you know, without Adam getting in the way.
I see, that never happens to me. I never have any of those feelings.
Maybe they've got the same thing.
Yeah, but what's the logic of then doing a gig together?
It's good for them psychologically, and if people pay to see it, then that's a bonus.
That's insanity. That's bad psychology, though.
Who's going to play Sun Always Shines on TV?
Yeah, exactly.
Who wrote the songs in A-ha?
I imagine it would be Harkett, but then probably
all
the
of
others.
Them.
The all of them.
Do you know that for a fact, Jude? Yeah.
Maybe they're just going to play their separate parts. So yeah, one of them's going to go and he's just going to play lots of bass.
And when you say that all of them wrote the song, then you could then split the song down into the good and bad bits of the song. Like the guy that wrote the choruses was better than the guy that wrote the verses. Don't you think? I think so.
One of them's just going to come on. Magna's going to come on and say, "Hello, I'm playing all mainly middle eights tonight. I wrote all the middle eights of the song."
That's right. They're going to have to chop up the songs. They only play the bits that they wrote.
Yeah. Morton's just going to be standing there with his cheekbones, singing all the little backing vocal bits that he wrote, maybe. And
I think it's under. I'm surprised more people don't do that because that's a good way to solve that problem of being in a band. Being in a band drives you mad. It's well known,
yeah.
right?
How is that? I don't understand how you could possibly think that is a good way of solving the problem. No one's happy.
Absolutely. Getting individual credit. No, well, people in the band are happy. Just the audience are upset.
The people in the band can't be happy. They are luring audiences there under the pretenses of getting some kind of A-ha gig. And in fact, they're getting nothing of the kind. They're basically getting people there the banner.
They're a huge band. Like if that was the Beatles and you were seeing individual sets, would you complain?
If they're upset about the dynamics of being
answer
in a successful
the question.
Band. Well, it's not the Beatles, though, is it?
Yeah, but
A-ha.
If you're Swedish, it is.
Is it?
Yeah. Are they Nordish? If you're Nordish, it is.
If you are having psychological problems about the stresses that come with being in a successful combo, the best thing to do is turn your back and plant your flag elsewhere as a solo entity and just get on with your life, not carry on.
I think they've tried that. Probably.
Working under that banner. What a gig.
What a gig. I'm excited, man. I think it'll be great.
I think it'll be fantastic. Maybe we can go along there and find out.
I can't. I'm busy.
Are you busy?
Yeah.
I think I might be busy that day
watching,
as well.
Watching telly.
I think that day I'm unable to move because I've just fallen.
Watch out, here's another little bit. It might be wicked. It might be one of the weaker bits. But that's cool. I like weaker bits. I can handle up to three.
And yes, we're talking about movie cliches. Hello,
hi.
How are you?
How are you?
Yeah, I'm very
fine.
Good, thanks.
You go ahead.
No, I was just saying we're talking about movie cliches and with particular reference to any movie cliches that you found yourself involved with in a real-life
situation.
That
you've done in real life.
Yeah, exactly.
You've suddenly thought, man, this is like I'm in a film.
Yeah.
And we've got some very good ones here. This one comes from someone who's either called depressed...
Mm-hmm.
And can't spell it properly.
Or who just is depressed.
Or who is depressed. Or who is called deep rest.
Because
that's how it's spelt. But they say, I once saw a magician who fainted while on stage. As he fell, he let go of a dove that flew behind the bar and sat on a beer pump. It reminded me of Blade Runner.
Wow.
That's quite good, isn't it?
He actually fainted. That's very dramatic.
In the middle of a dove trick.
Wow.
Doves flying away in any manner are very meaningful.
Absolutely.
Matthew in Croydon says, I have a friend who does not say goodbye when a phone conversation is over.
Yeah.
He just hangs up when his point's made. Very irritating.
That is true.
But people in films always do that, especially, I think Americans per se, they don't tend to say goodbye.
Uh-huh.
They get surprised if you say goodbye. They're surprised if you say thank you.
Yes.
Americans generally. They go, oh, you're welcome.
My dad doesn't say goodbye.
Doesn't he?
No, he just randomly hangs up. It's upsetting.
Doesn't even make a little noise.
No, not really. It's just suddenly click. how about this? When you go into the kitchen at night, like, do you just use the light from the fridge to illuminate your business? Because
what business exactly are you doing in the kitchen at night?
Who knows? You can do whatever you like. No one's going to find you.
An alarming thought.
No, but you know what I mean?
I'm not snacking from your fridge.
In films and TV shows, when you go into the kitchen in the middle of the night, you know, you don't turn on the light because why would you? You just use the light from the fridge.
I tend to turn on the light.
Well, of course everyone turns on the light. I'm curious to know if there's anyone out there who uses the fridge as a light source.
Here's a good one from Rusty. When I was a teen, I worked in a clothes shop. I quit after a busy Christmas, but I was left out of the Christmas bonus. I felt quite angry about it. I had a shop floor face-off with my manager. And when I left, I pathetically knocked over some T-shirts.
Hey!
To the 14-year-old me, it felt like the greatest vindication of injustice ever.
Yeah, boy. What's his name?
Rusty.
Good job, Rusty. That's great. I bet he's a kind of genius man, I bet you.
Do you think?
Definitely.
I think so. It's a good name, Rusty.
That's great.
Kaz in Edinburgh says, when in New York on an art college trip, a group of us decided to try the local nightlife. We split into two groups to take taxis to the venue. The first group, which I wasn't in...
was brutally murdered.
...grabbed a yellow cab and drove off, just as we hailed our taxi and realised we didn't know the address. So we jumped in and said... follow that cab!
Yay!
Which felt very exciting.
Even though
much more exciting than the club turned out to be. Says Kaz.
That's good. Thanks for that, Kaz.
Lots more.
I would like to hear from anyone who's found themselves in the ventilation system of a building.
You know? Well, I think that's a fallacy because I don't think those ventilation pipes are strong enough to hold a person.
No, exactly. You know?
You'd just fall through.
Get up there crawling around. Pushing the grill up in the top, you know, standing on a chair.
Saying things like, now I know what it feels like to be a TV dinner.
Yeah, with
come
your lighter.
Come to New York, have a little bit of fun. Whatever he says.
Have a few laughs.
It's time for Song Wars. The war of the songs. A couple of tunes by a couple of prongs. Which will you vote for? Which one is the best? We're putting our songs to the listener test, so check it out.
Yes, it's Song Wars time again, listeners. This is the part of the show where we write songs ourselves. We write songs and then you guys listen to them and you have to vote which one is the best. There's the annoying sound of the stylophone.
You've got three settings on the new stylophone now.
So I noticed.
Got that one, and then you got yet another one.
What difference does that make?
Well, it's slightly different, the tone of it slightly.
What's number
different.
Three?
Well, number three is the annoying high one.
Oh, so that just changes the pitch?
Well, no, it's a slightly different quality of sound. I don't know.
I don't know.
And then you can tune it. It's got a tuning thing on the back. Did you have to tune yours?
I did tune mine, yeah.
It's very difficult to... Because I started off, I did a whole track with one, and it was horrible sounding.
So did I. I just didn't throw that one away.
Right.
That's what I'm entering.
Yeah.
I've got to say that the combination of doing a Kate Nash parody... Now, Kate Nash, whether you love her or dislike her, and it's hard to dislike her that much. She's only 21. But even so, it's quite a distinct and irritating sound. You know, it's... affected.
Yeah, well, we sort of got bolshy because I think we were playing Pumpkin Soup or whatever it is. And we thought, oh, that can't be hard to do, can it?
It's like Young Nancy from Oliver.
Right.
In the charts.
Yeah.
You know, she's got a very kind of Barrow Girl sound. And I don't know, it's occasionally sounds as if it can't be real. Because how could someone actually operate in the world talking like that and not get hit a lot? But that's fine, because it's, you know, a lot of singers affect funny voices for singing. It's part of the deal with pop. But combine that with the stylophone, and you're mixing dangerous chemicals of you know, dangerous levels of annoyingness.
Yeah. So who's going to go first? Should we flip a coin?
We'll flip the coin.
Okay, I'm flipping. Call it.
I'll go heads.
Heads, it. Yeah, I don't know what. It's hard to tell on the £2 coin. Oh, no, yeah, you're going heads. It's tails.
It's tails, so you get to choose.
I'll go first.
You'll go first.
Yeah.
A little bit of thinking it took.
Yeah.
Figure out what tactic could give you the strongest start.
So this is my Kate Nash song is thematically and sound-wise by no means close to what she's like. And I really tried hard.
It's very, very difficult.
But it's not very easy at all. So I sort of zeroed in on a couple of very lazy things that popped out at me thematically.
Sounds alarming.
And as far as the voice went, it's nowhere near at all. So anyway, this is my Kate Nash song.
I was a bit depressed today, so I started thinking about binge drinking around 3 o'clock. So I went and done a little knock on the door of my best friend Mandy and my boyfriend Andy. He was Randy, I could tell, cause he kept looking at my bum like he was some kind of pervy bum fan. Bums and binge drinking and bums. When I get depressed, I like to go binge drinking with my chums. Why are you depressed, said Mandy, but not Andy. When we was at the shops, buying alcohol pops, Mandy never stops asking me questions like that. So I told her, Mandy, it's the media, they make my bum feel fat. I have to go binge drinking just so I can deal with that. Bums and binge drinking and bums. When I get depressed, I like to go binge drinking with my chums. La 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 la, rooty-toot, yeah, what I'm feeling, no, so blue. My bum is not quite perfect and my boyfriend's rubbish too. Oh my gosh, I was so drunk that night, I threw up on Andy and we had a big fight. And Mandy puked, and then we had a meal, and later on we all watched Balls of Steel. Then I felt quite happy, then I was sad, and I thought, I wonder how many drinks I've had. And then I threw up, and then I passed out. It was so embarrassing, my bum was hanging out. Bums and binge drinking and bums. When I get depressed, I like to go binge drinking with my chums. Bums and binge drinking and bums. When I get depressed, I like to go binge drinking with my chums. La 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 la, binge drinking, yeah, what, binge drinking and bums. When I get depressed, I like to go binge drinking with my chums. La 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 la.
This to be this performance right now, is this to be judged as well?
Yeah,
that's good.
That's live at the end there.
It was hard to tell.
Did you go a radically different direction with your one?
You know what? I went in a radically similar direction.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially lyrically and thematically.
Yeah.
You'll find there is one prominent similarity.
It's the Bums, isn't it?
It is the Bums.
Because she loves... It's only a couple of songs that she mentions Bums, but it really sticks out as being so sort of bummy.
Yeah,
and
I think she mentions them in more than a couple of songs.
She?
I listen to a lot of Kate Nash.
I listen to the whole of Made of Bricks and over again. It's not bad, is it? I mean, it's...
I went out and bought it.
Did you?
Yeah, I didn't download it. I mean, did you download it?
I borrowed it off someone.
You borrowed it off someone. I bought it.
No, you never.
Yes, I did.
He's shaking his head.
I bought it.
It's not bad, though, is it?
I bought it.
He's only necking, miss.
All this, you know, rambling and rubbish songs and incompetence in the world of presenting makes it unbelievable that we, listeners, have been nominated for an award. Oh, yes. The Broadcasting Press Guild.
The BPG.
The BPG. They are an organisation made up of critics, and we've been nominated in the category for Best Radio Show, I think. And we're up against Moyles...
Beyond Belief, a series of Radio 4 religious programs.
Yeah, and the what was the other show on Radio 4?
The News Quiz.
The News Quiz. You know, these are big shows that we're up against. But it's very exciting, listeners, and we're going to the ceremony next Friday. So this time next week, we'll be able to tell you if we won or not. But I was wondering if you guys...
You know, I don't think we will. So the key thing is to just simply celebrate while there's a possibility that we might.
Yeah, exactly. Toot our own
That's
trumpet.
That's what my mum always used to say.
Uh-huh.
You know, just enjoy it while it's a possibility.
Yeah.
Enjoy the moment.
But what if we won? Nah, it's not going to happen. Because I've been fantasizing about if we
right.
won. You know what I mean? Ever since we found out that we'd been nominated, I've been thinking about what would we say if we won? You know, which direction would we... Would we, like, make a big song and dance about it? Would we say something outrageous at the podium? Would we just be polite and say thank you?
Who will be in the audience? Because it's all to do with who's going to be watching, isn't it? It's like making a best man speech or something. You've got to pitch it to the audience.
All I've heard is that the cast of Cranford are going to be there.
Wow.
I'm excited about that.
Then
I love
we should
Cranford.
Do it in, like, old West Country, whatever Cranford is.
Cranford, it's just posh. But I'm very excited about seeing the cast of Cranford. I imagine it'll be some of the younger members. I can't imagine Stench will be there, will she?
You've got your eye on some busty wench that you're going to attempt to snog, haven't you?
Dame Judy Stench.
The Stench?
Yeah.
You're going to get a whiff of the Stench.
I've got my eye on the Stench. So, yeah, if anyone's got any... What are your favourite award acceptance speeches?
You know what? I go for the... I like the Coen Brothers style, just say very little.
Yeah.
Award speeches are boring as Hades.
But
they're
awful. It's fun when
they're
someone...
only fun if someone makes an arse of themselves.
Exactly. So we should maybe do that.
No, you can't do that knowingly. That's just obnoxious.
Really? We'll probably do it by accident.
Nice. Hi there. This is the music artist Beck, Beck Hansen, and you're listening to the Adam and Joe podcast. I just did a new Beck song about Adam and Joe, so here it is.
2, 3, 4. Adam and Joe with a razor blade overcoat, sitting on a fruit machine, eating dirty pickles with a pong.
Did you like it? I hope so. Thank you. This is Beck. Now back to the Adam and Joe podcast. Bye.
Text the Nation this week, of course, is movie cliches that have come true in your life, moments in life when you felt like you were in a film. Callum says, I once walked through Montmartre in Paris carrying a baguette.
That's not so bad. If you'd been on a bicycle with a beret and some onions around your neck...
I think you need a brown paper bag with one or two baguettes sticking out the top, don't you? That's just a general I've been shopping signifier in films.
Yeah. I think, you know, the French do tend to eat a lot of baguettes as well, so...
Mike says, when I was in Leicester as a student, I had to break into my own room, not with a credit card, but with a fish slice.
A fish slice?
Mm.
What, a slice of fish?
No, something used to slice fish.
Oh, a fish slice.
Yes.
He should have tried getting in with some fish.
Dennis Simon says, guys, I was driving, going back to work one day, and one of the two roads into our trading estate was closed off by the police. The police officer told me that the road was shut and I'd need to drive through town to the other entrance. Not really wanting to do this, I told the officer, let me through, goddammit. I've got a gas emergency and need to get to the Plum Centre.
The Plum Centre.
He then let me through, moving the barrier and waving me on while nodding his head at me. I may not have said, God damn it, And I would have probably been more polite, but I don't think anyone has ever had to get to the plumber's merchant in a film, but I felt like Bruce Willis when I did it.
Yeah, exactly.
Is the point.
It'd be nice to push through some cops and say, let me through!
Flash a badge.
That's my husband in there, or something like that.
You had a friend who carried round a pretend police badge, didn't you, when we were teenagers?
No, you're thinking about me.
Isn't there someone who you knew who pretended to be a detective?
No.
And would occasionally flash this thing in his wallet?
No, I tell you what I did, though, is I used to carry around my dad's press card.
Ah.
And I used to pretend to be a member of the press when I was about 15. And, yeah, I'd taken my dad's photograph, because he worked at the Sunday Telegraph for many years, and he had a really cool-looking press card that said press in big red letters on it. Mm. So I removed his photograph and substituted it with my stupid face. And I used to go around flashing that every now and again in cinema queues and things to try and get to the front. I think it worked once. Do you not remember?
No.
I think we got to the front of a queue at the Scala or something to see some all-nighter because I was a member of the press.
Here's one from Rob Gold, G-A-U-L-D, Gold.
Mm-hmm.
I think I have a slow connection between my eyes and brain, and hence I'm always doing big movie-style double takes. First, I look at something with a plain expression, look away, and then upon realising what I've just seen, look back with a shocked expression. Sometimes, maybe really early in the morning, I may even do a triple take, which, as you might imagine, looks quite ridiculous.
That's excellent.
Yeah. And here's another very good one from Richard O'Brien, who's in Bournemouth.
Not the Richard O'Brien.
Don't know, could be. Wow. Hi, Adam and Joe. I'm in Bournemouth training to be a pilot, and we spend all of our days playing volleyball in nothing but aviator shades and stonewashed cut-off denim jeans in a homoerotic manner. We also ride motorbikes without helmets down runways and have arguments in the shower when we're not in the air, giving Migs the bird.
You're lucky, Richard.
Just talking.
It's time to unveil Joe's Kate Nash masterpiece now.
Yeah, it's time for my Song Wars entry, Joe's Song Wars entry. Mine's very short. Yours was long, wasn't it, Adam? How long was yours?
It's over,
that's
two,
over 2 minutes.
Over 2 minutes, yeah.
Mine's only just over 1 minute because I couldn't put anybody through any more than a minute of this.
Right.
I almost didn't bring it in. It's true. Don't look so shocked. Jude's looking shocked.
Well, let's
she
hear,
loves it.
Let's hear it.
I don't know. It's mine's called. What was yours called?
Bums and Binge Drinking.
Mine's called Itchy Bum.
Itchy Bum.
Yeah. And again, I haven't really managed to sound like her.
Mm-hmm.
I had to speed it all up in a sort of attempt to make it sound a bit like her.
It's frustrating, isn't it? Because she's got such a particular voice, and
very,
it's clear that
hard.
She is affecting part of her accent. Mm. Like, it's not real, you know.
Yeah.
But it's hard to absolutely nail it.
Very, very difficult, and both of us have failed to, I think. Here's my song. This is my Kate Nash song featuring some stylophone action. This is called Itchy Bum.
I've got an itchy bum, 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 bum. In my bedroom watching telly, I eat another slice of cheese on toast and think about how crap you are. I've been thinking for an hour now, and I can conclude that you are rubbish and you don't deserve to hear me sing this wicked song about my complicated personal problems, including the fact that I've got an itchy bum, 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 bum. Now I'm sitting at the bus stop, my head is full of issues, my pocket's full of tissues. I wish that I could have spotty all over my body. That's just another one of the complicated problems I'm gonna put into my next wicked song, darling.
Only short. Itchy bum.
Yeah, some weird tuning on there.
It's good, it's in tune. It's a bit bagpipe-y, the stylophone, isn't it, basically? It makes everything sound a bit big country-esque.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. There we go. So the voting is open to you, listeners. Which of those songs did you like the most? You probably just loathe them both. In which case, vote for the one that you loathe the least.
Watch out, here's another little bit. It might be wicked. It might be one of the weaker bits. But that's cool. I like weaker bits.
I can handle up to three.
So this week, listeners, I went to see an art exhibition. Yeah, let's raise the level of this conversation a bit. At the Royal Academy here in London, it's called From Russia, French and Russian Master Paintings, 1870 to 1925. It's a very controversial exhibition. Adam, why is that?
Well, because the Russians were worried about getting insurance for some of the...
There was a diplomatic row.
Yeah.
It almost didn't happen.
They thought as soon as the pictures got to Britain, they'd just get nicked,
yeah.
Didn't they?
Something like that.
Yeah.
It's an exciting exhibition. It's the big blockbuster one you've got to go to if you're in London. It's amazing paintings that have never been in the country before.
Mm-hmm.
And simply by looking at them, you become a better person.
Mm.
It's true. Actually, genetically, biologically, things reorganize inside your head and you become more appreciative of beauty, more sensitive and more intelligent.
It's like Balls of Steel.
And sexy. Very like Balls of Steel, the show. Anyway, and it made me just think about the whole experience of going to galleries and how nice it is and how it's something everyone should do every few months because it's quite a unique and special experience for the following reason.
Yeah.
Looking at ladies.
I was going to say, that's way
And this
there,
works both ways, depending whichever way your bits and bobs swing. Just there is a unified sexiness to anybody who's even vaguely sexy in a gallery. I haven't articulated that very well. But by the very fact that they're in the gallery...
Exactly.
...that elevates their base level of attractiveness.
Yeah, it
makes... Do you not think if there's someone who's physically attractive, but yet they're in a gallery, then you know at least two boxes are ticked. Physically attractive...
That's right.
...mentally decent. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. No, I mean, you know, art school girls, they're the hottest girls in the world.
It's the best place to go to pick people up
and,
in the world.
Yeah, and they're all hanging out at the galleries there. I know, and they looked really, you know, they look mysterious and because they're not speaking as well.
Especially
a lot of
the time. In this particular exhibition, a lot of Russian prostitutes. Now, I'm just guessing, but there were more single women in fur coats with really pinched cheeks.
Yeah.
There was this one particular woman, she had like silver knee-length boots. A fur coat on. I bet she had nothing under it. Do you know, like one of those prosies in the... Is that a good word to use at this time of the morning?
No,
one of those ladies of the night in a film. They've always got fur coats with nothing on under them.
Yeah.
And she had like silver eyeliner and a top knot. And she looked a bit like Tilda Swinton.
Uh-huh.
Like that. Very, very pinched cheeks.
Have you been to art school ever?
Is that what all the girls look like
That's there? What they all look like. Yeah, she's from the fashion department.
Hi, this is a sexy woman, and you're listening to the highlights of the Adam and Joe BBC Six Music show. Ooh, this podcast has got me so hot. I'm too hot. I'm going to have to sit down and take off my cardigan. Ooh, I'm boiling.
Text the Nation this week is all about movie cliches that have come true in your life. Have you found yourself in a situation where you realise that the life's turned into a film? A bad film at that.
Yeah.
Or maybe a good one. Viv in Dundee says, I don't have sex. I just kick up one leg when I kiss people.
Yeah. I'd love to see someone actually doing that.
That way I avoid all the nasty diseases and have been given a U certificate.
Why do women do that? Why do they kick up their legs?
It's a special muscle that's connected to mystery bits. Here is another one from Rhea in Cardiff. Talking film cliches, I have never hugged a friend stroke lover whom I am about to deceive... and then done an evil, mysterious face over their shoulder. Now, she's saying she hasn't done that. But that's a good suggestion for a simple movie cliche we can all employ at some point today.
Yeah.
Hug a friend and then go... over their
over
shoulder.
Their back. Not actually make the noise, though, because that would give you away.
There needs to be someone watching you. It's a bit pointless if there's nobody watching you.
Yes.
But, it's a little sarky face. It's not
very
nice.
Well, no, you do it to yourself. I mean, sometimes when you're on your own and you're frustrated by someone, you'll just, when they turn their back, you'll go, you know?
Mm.
You do it for your own benefit.
I don't do that myself.
Again, you don't make the noise, otherwise you will get busted.
Yeah. Here's another one from Matt in Lancaster. My wife's on holiday in France, so I'm home alone. The other night I went to investigate a strange noise outside, wearing only boxer shorts and a T-shirt and muttering, what the hell? I realised that I was a walking horror film cliché, so I ran back inside in case I got eaten by something. The noise turned out to be the cat being a maniac anyway. Another example, this is the reason why I've read it out, of people behaving like they're in horror films.
Yes.
I believe that cliché's true.
Well, going to investigate noises in your undies?
Yeah, I think you do investigate noises in your undies.
Yeah. And it just happens to
I investigate noises in your undies.
If you're an attractive woman and you're investigating a noise, it's just better, that's all.
Yeah, to spectate.
To watch.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is from Lebby! Exclamation mark. Woo! Lebby! I once saw LL Cool J on telly, picking up the phone and saying, "Talk to me." When I was about 12, in my best LL Cool J accent, I did it. A friendly neighbour was on the other end, and she sounded very confused. Well, that's a good way to, again, get a movie cliche into your daily life.
Uh-huh.
Ring, ring, talk to me. It's risky. You never know who's going to be, Auntie Noreen or someone embarrassing like that.
Talk to me. I like the idea of a 12-year-old.
Talk to me. It's a higher voice. Oliver in Hackney says, "While live role-playing, we were attacking an orc stronghold, and I led the troops in, shouting, 'Everybody go, go, go!'" Very clichéd, but it felt very good. I don't know why I did you an unbroken voice there, Oliver. It just seemed apposite. Also, once in a club, I saw a girl I liked the look of on the other side of the dance floor. So I clicked my fingers, pointed at her, and jerked my thumb in my direction. She came over. I nearly pooped myself. But I pulled it off.
That's amazing.
Nice, nice.
Well, that's it for this week's podcast. Thanks very much for listening, and we sincerely hope that you enjoyed it.
Yeah, exactly. What would we do if they didn't enjoy it?
Just ignore them.
I wouldn't. I'd get depressed about it.
Would you?
Yeah, I would.
Okay, if you didn't enjoy that podcast, write to us detailing as precisely as possible why you didn't like it, and we will respond to you in writing with a point-by-point retraction or justification of all the things you didn't like.
Are you really going to do that?
That's true. I'm not going to do that. Unless,
you didn't think
for
about
instance,
either, did you?
Just one person writes in, then I might do it once.
Yeah, and if it's quite a nice letter as well.
Yeah.
With maybe a nude photograph.
Hey, this is a public service, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
BBC, taxpayers' money.
Yeah.
So if you want changes to the show, just write in and we'll make them.
Right.
That's not true either,
so you're doing
it?
Another. You've got to stop making these kind of statements.
You're right.
Because you get into all kinds
stupid
of hot
thing
water.
To say.
It's ridiculous.
Stupid.
Now pull your socks up and we'll be back with you next weekend, listeners, on our Six Music show from 9 till 12 on Saturday mornings. Have a good week. Bye.
Bye-bye.
If you enjoyed the Adam and Joe podcast, then why not try the John Richardson podcast? Download it now. bbc.co.uk/sixmusic. Whoa.